Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm now into my third week of teaching on how to fulfill your destiny, and I am really enjoying this series because this is what really turned my life around. It was when I was in high school and I began to start seeking the Lord about what is your purpose for my life. And for about a little over a year, nearly 18 months, I just was seeking this. And then the Lord gave me these verses out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the last part of Romans 12, 2 says, you do these things, you will prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And boy, that just resonated with me. I knew that this was my answer. And so from Christmas of 1967 until March the 23rd, 1968, I just, with everything within me, was asking God for wisdom and direction on what is necessary to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I was studying Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And the main thing that God really ministered to me was about being a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I've already talked about a number of things I got out of that verse. But let me just say it this way. The Lord told me, this is how I had it, the Lord present this to me, and it worked for me, and I believe that this is true for all of us. That, see, I was wanting to know what vocation God had for me. I was entering into college. I was having to make decisions, establish majors, decide on what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I was looking for a vocation, a calling. The Lord spoke to me this way. He says, my will for you and for every person is to be a living sacrifice. That's God's will. And then how I use you, what we call our vocation, is actually a secondary thing. That's not near as important as becoming a living sacrifice. And then once you're a living sacrifice, God could use you in many different ways. And as long as it's directed by God and ordained by God, you would be a blessing and you would be blessed. You would be fulfilled. But this is how the Lord spoke to me. He says, my will for you isn't to be a preacher or whatever it is that, you know, people choose to do with their life. My will is for you to be a living sacrifice. And boy, when I saw that, you know what? That just totally changed everything. And for about 4 months, I was praying, oh God, help me to become a living sacrifice. And I want to make this point too, that with me, as I think it is with most people, you can't just transition from being a self-centered, selfish person, doing your own thing, only calling on God when you're in trouble, and just going your own way and using God like a fire escape. You can't transition from that mindset into being a living sacrifice just in one 30-minute program. It doesn't happen that way. With me, it actually began like a year and a half before when I started seeking God's will. I started preparing my heart. It's like planting a seed in the ground. You have to prepare the ground. You have to till the ground, aerate it, and get all of the junk out of it and get the rocks out of it and all of these things. There's a preparation of the soil before you plant the seed. There has to be a preparation of your heart. Some of you may have already started that preparation period a long time ago, and maybe today is the culmination of it. Others, this may be the starting of preparing your soil and getting you to thinking about that God has a purpose for you. But see, you have to prepare yourself. With me, there was about a year and a half's worth of preparation, and 4 months in particular where day and night I was saying, God, help me to be a living sacrifice. And then I had this experience with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968. And if any of you have watched my program very often, you've heard me refer to this because this is just like the number one thing that changed my life. I mean, God came into my life in a big way. I was already born again, but I was doing my own thing. I wasn't committed to God with all of my heart. And when I had that experience in 1968, some people hear me talk about that and just think that here I was just going my own way and God just supernaturally intervened and it was like without any rhyme or reason, God just sovereignly worked. I believe it's God's will to have a dramatic encounter, for everyone to have a dramatic encounter with God and to come to a place where they experience the stuff that I did. But it doesn't happen to everybody, and a large part of it is because it wasn't just like that where it came out of the blue. For 18 months, I'd been seeking and desiring to know something. For 4 months, I'd been praying with my whole heart, God, help me to be a living sacrifice. And then the Lord showed up and started by showing me what a hypocrite I was and how selfish I was, self-centered. And when I saw that and repented, what basically happened was that that night, March the 23rd, 1968, I became a living sacrifice. And I know that by me even saying that, that there's going to be some people who take offense. And they're going to say, oh, so you think you've arrived? No, I didn't say that. It's a living sacrifice. It's not a one-time sacrifice. It's not like one time you just deal with yourself and boom, it's over and you never have to deal with self again. You are just perfect and holy from then on. No, you're a living sacrifice. That means it's a continual, alive thing that is happening every moment of every day for the rest of your life. You can't come to the Lord and just have one experience and live off of that one experience. Now, I had an experience with the Lord March the 23rd, 1968 that just jump-started my Christian life, and it was tremendous, but it has been living every day since then. I still am in relationship with God. I am still yielding to God. When God showed me that I was selfish and self-centered back in 1968, I mean to the best of my ability, I turned myself inside out. I repented of everything I'd ever done or ever would do. I mean, I just yielded myself. There was nothing left. It was like I gave God everything I had and there was nothing left. But does that mean that I've never had a problem since then? Nope, not at all. As a matter of fact, I've used this example quite often, but I remember talking to Jim Irwin. He lived here in Colorado Springs. We were on some television programs together, and he was one of the astronauts that walked on the moon. And I've always been really interested in this because when the American astronauts first walked on the moon was in 1969, and I was drafted, and I was in basic, and we didn't have televisions. There was no access to news. We didn't hear anything. And so I basically just missed all of that. While the whole world was watching this, I missed it. And I've always been curious. And so when I got to meet Jim Irwin, this astronaut that walked on the moon, man, I was so excited. And I just got to pumping this guy and asking him all kinds of questions. He signed his book and gave it to me. And I signed my books and gave them to him. And I was just asking him all these questions. And anyway, he changed my thinking because I thought that they had the technology down so well that, boy, I mean, it was just amazing how they shot that capsule to the moon and it landed in the exact spot that they had planned. He told me that what they really did was just throw that capsule out into space. And then for 4 days on the way to the moon, they had a course correction every 10 minutes for 4 days. And he said sometimes they would be 90 degrees off course. Like if this was the direction they were supposed to be going 90 degrees opposite. And sometimes they'd have to have this huge burn to get back on course. Other times they were just a fraction off. But every 10 minutes for 4 days, they had a course correction. So instead of just going perfectly to that spot on the moon, they really went to the moon like this. And then he said there was a 500-mile long landing strip, an area that they'd picked out to land in. And when they finally landed that lunar module and he got out of the module and stepped on the moon, they were within 5 feet of being outside of this 500-mile area they were aiming for. And you know what it did? It totally changed my thinking. Instead of this just being perfect, perfect technology so that, you know, there was no deviation, everything was perfect, they just started in that direction. And they made course corrections all along the way. Every 10 minutes, they made a course correction. And as he was telling me these things, the Lord spoke to me about this very issue of being a living sacrifice and said, that's the way it is. You know, when I made this commitment to the Lord in 1968 and I gave God everything, I honestly meant it. There was nothing held back, but you just don't ever get over this. Like I've had people come up after I minister on this and says, would you please pray for me and just cast this self out of me? I can't cast self out of you. If self leaves, you're dead. As long as you're alive in this physical body, you're going to have a self, and you're going to have a temptation to be selfish and to do things your own way and lean under your own understanding. You aren't ever going to get to where it's just non-existent, but you can make it to where it's a living sacrifice. And just constantly you are not yielding under your own understanding, but you're deferring to God and you're obeying Him, even when it seems to go against your own sense. You just do what God tells you to do. And it's just like when they shot that capsule towards the moon, they had to blast off. They had to start the process. And then once they got moving, they made these course corrections. And the Lord spoke to me and He says, that's the way it is. People will make a commitment and say, God, I want to be a living sacrifice. And they will come to a place to where with everything they have right then, they say, God, I'm going to serve You. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll be anything. I want to be a living sacrifice. And they mean that. And then the next 10 minutes, they get an opportunity to make a course correction. Like when they come to my meetings, I'll often say this, you may go back there and want to get this CD, and the last one, the person in front of you gets it. You know what? Within 10 minutes, here's your first opportunity for a course correction. To say, well, bless them. You know, I'll just let them have it. I'll go order mine off the internet or something. Or you get out into the parking lot, and instead of letting this person in, you just want to push in front of them. You're in a hurry to get home. Here's an opportunity for a course correction and to be a living sacrifice and to prefer somebody else above yourself. You get up the next day and go to work, and I can guarantee you, if you've made a commitment that, God, I want to be a sacrifice, I want to honor You, I want to be like You, Satan's going to send somebody across your path that knows how to push your buttons and to make you mad, and there's going to be an opportunity for a course correction. That didn't mean that you haven't left. You just haven't arrived yet. And I really want to stress this. This is the reason the Scripture says you need to be a living sacrifice. It's not just a one-time thing. With me, there was a one-time occurrence that I often refer to, and it was powerful, and I am not denying that that had a huge impact on my life. But if I hadn't have kept that commitment current, if I hadn't have dealt with it the next week and the next month and the next year, and if I hadn't have just every day dealt with things, that commitment I made in 1968 would not have brought me to where I am today, and I wouldn't be seeing God move in my life. That was a beginning, and praise God for the mercy that He showed in my life. But you know what? You got to be a living sacrifice. It has to be every day of your life that you are saying, God, it's not me, it's You. What do You want me to do today? I'll yield to You. I'll obey You. It's a living sacrifice. And you know, the problem with the living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. Amen. That's the reason the Bible says that you got to bind the sacrifice to the altar. It's going to take effort to keep yourself in a place to where you yield to the opinion and the leadership and the control of another. Fallen human nature wants to do it your own way. Adam and Eve's real sin was that they decided that God didn't know enough. God was trying to keep them back from something that was good for them, and they exalted their own opinion. They exalted the opinion of a talking snake above what God said. They leaned to their own understanding. They did it their way. And I guarantee you, the world has been paying for it ever since. You know, Frank Sinatra made this song famous about, I did it my way. And I don't know Frank Sinatra personally, but just from a distance, it doesn't look like this man had God in his life. He may have known about God, but, you know, from all indications that I'm aware of, I'm not the judge, but it looks like that he did not go to heaven, that he went to hell. And I guarantee you this song, I Did It My Way, will be tormenting him the rest of eternity. And I guarantee you doing it your way is going to destroy you. You need to recognize by the mercy of God that God has a better plan for you than you have for yourself. And God's plan for you is to, first of all, first and foremost, become a living sacrifice. And if you do that, if you just totally yield yourself and, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'm not in control. And I mean, it's got to start in some practical ways. Some of you, you sit there and watch things on television that you shouldn't watch. You listen to movies. You have music that you shouldn't be listening to. It's not glorifying God. You do things. You have friends that if Jesus was physically present, you would be embarrassed to take Him into some of the places you go, to watch the things that you watch, to eat the foods that you eat. to drink the things that you drink. I mean, you got to make this practical. It's not just in big matters. You got to, first of all, just in every practical thing. God is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. If He's truly going to be Lord, then He needs to be Lord. Are you going to start glorifying Him in the way you eat, in the way you act, the things you watch, the things you listen to, the way you talk, the places you go, the friends that you have? You just need to lay it down and make yourself a living sacrifice. That's God's will for you. And if you do that, it's not just a one-time occurrence, but it begins one time. It's like, again, that space capsule you had to blast off. If you never blast off, if you never get off the launching pad, you're never going to arrive on the moon. If you don't begin, if you don't have a starting place where you say, today, this day, whatever that date is, this day, I am making a commitment that Jesus is my Lord, that I am a living sacrifice. You start. That doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly. You may get 90 degrees off track, but you know what? God will bring you back and He'll correct you, and you just keep correcting. But you got to blast off. You got to start. There are some of you watching this program that haven't blasted off. There's some of you that hadn't even got to the launching pad. There's some of you that didn't even know you were supposed to be moving in this direction. Our world is basically saying it's all about you. You're the center of the universe. The world revolves around you. Get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. Take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, who will? And that's the attitude that most people, even a lot of Christians, have. There are some of you that didn't even know you were supposed to live a life where you aren't the one that is the focus of everything. But it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. This may be a brand new revelation to some of you. Well, I encourage you to get on the launching pad and blast off and start moving in that direction towards making God more important than you, making other people more important than yourself. And I tell you, if you don't do that, then it's impossible for you to go around this, to sidestep it, and just get into God's calling and vocation for your life. It doesn't work that way. This is God's calling, is for you to be a living sacrifice. This is like a wall that's in front of you. And if you will not deal with this issue and becoming a living sacrifice, then even if somehow or another you stumbled into God's will, you're going to mess it up because you would be self-centered, because you would get out and do it your own way. You would take the credit and the glory for yourself instead of giving it to God. If you don't become a living sacrifice, you aren't going to obtain God's destiny for your life, God's way. You're going to try and do it some other way. There are ways that you can prosper outside of God, but it brings tragedy, brings sorrow, it brings grief. It takes away your family, your health, all kinds of things. There's a right and a wrong way to prosper in life. And I'm telling you that if you're going to prosper God's way, then you have to become a living sacrifice. And if you do that, then here's the way that the Lord spoke this to me. If you become a living sacrifice, He says, you would have to backslide on me to keep from fulfilling my will. You will prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I mean, it's just an inevitable byproduct. If you are yielded unto God and seeking God, you may make some mistakes, but God can handle that. God's not going to fall off His throne because you do something wrong. If you are a living sacrifice, God will get you to where you need to go, and He will use you, and His destiny will be fulfilled in you. God promised me that. And you know, again, this isn't just in spiritual matters, and it doesn't have any practical application. The Lord showed me this exact same thing when it came to me getting married. I had reached a place to where, God, I'm not going to seek a wife. That's what the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you aren't married, don't seek a mate. I realized it could be a distraction. I could get involved emotionally with someone, and then once your emotions are screaming at you, it's hard to hear the will of God and the voice of God. So I just determined I wasn't ever going to seek a mate. I went about 5 years and never dated, never did anything like that. I wasn't planning on getting married, and I depended upon this. I said, God, I am a living sacrifice. And if a wife for me is your good, acceptable, and perfect will, then I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I'm going to renew my mind, and you will have to plop her in my way. And I really felt like I would have had to backslid on God to keep from getting married. And so that's the approach that I had. And it's a long story. I hadn't got time to give it right here. But that's exactly what happened to me. God put Jamie and me together in a supernatural fashion. We were engaged to be married before we ever held hands. I knew that it was God's will. God put us together. And you know, we aren't perfect and we've had problems, I guess the same as anybody, but probably not as much as other people. Basically, we were just made for each other. And it has been supernatural. I don't know that there's another woman on the face of the earth that would have put up with the things that I've put Jamie through. I mean, what a godsend. What a blessing. And you know what? How I did that? I did it this same principle. I just sought God. And as I seek God, God will provide me with every good thing. It says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that love Him. So if a wife was a good thing for me, God would bring her. God brought Eve to Adam, Ruth to Boaz, Rebekah to Isaac. And God supernaturally put people together. So I just sought God. It's kind of like this triangle. And if you look at this triangle, and up here at the very top is God, and down here on the two sides of this isosceles triangle are men, the man and the woman. Most men and women seek each other down here on this level, and then after they come together, they say, well, let's seek God, and they start trying to go up to the top of this triangle. The better way is that if the man and the woman both sought God, as they seek God and get closer to the center of His will, boom, they run into each other. God will supernaturally put you together with the right mate. And I tell you, how important is that? That's awesome. This works in every area of your life. You become a living sacrifice, and then God will prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will in your job, in your finances, in your health, in your marriage, in your children, in whatever. The key to everything is being a living sacrifice. You know, I used to pray and just beseech God and say, oh God, use me. Oh God, use me. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, the reason I'm not using you is because you aren't usable. He says, if you ever got usable, I'll use you. I want to use you more than you want to be used. And so I quit praying, oh God, make me, oh God, use me, to oh God, make me usable. And see, that's what being a living sacrifice is. It's like if a person builds this huge ship, an ocean liner, you don't build those things to leave in dry dock. The reason you build them is to put them out there and put them to use. Well, we're wanting to go out and sail the seven seas and do all of these things, but the reason God hadn't taken us out of dry dock is because you aren't finished yet. You aren't usable. You're still self-centered. You need to become a living sacrifice. And the moment you get seaworthy, the moment you get to where God can start using you, God wants to use you more than you want to be used. God will open up doors for you. Quit praying, God, use me, and start saying, God, make me usable. Make yourself a living sacrifice, which is just reasonable. That's reasonable Christian service. Renew your mind, and I can promise you, you will prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Boy, that transformed my life. That is powerful. You know, today is going to be the last day that I'm going to offer you this second teaching in our four-part set entitled How to Fulfill Your Destiny. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how we offer our products and how you can get them. And I encourage you to listen and then please respond. Either call or write today.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the CD album titled Becoming a Living Sacrifice is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT120C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I want to remind you that today is the last day that we're offering this second teaching in our four-part album on how to fulfill your destiny. This is a CD album. We also have an As Seen on TV version made on DVD that you can get. But there's four parts to it. And the way we offer this is we ask for a donation for the album, for the entire product of any amount. We don't have a set amount. It varies according to different people, but we ask you to give something. But there's some people who wouldn't or couldn't send anything to get the entire album. So what we do is make each individual teaching available free of charge, one at a time. My partners have enabled me to do that, and today is our last day to offer you this second teaching entitled Becoming a Living Sacrifice.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd, and in South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.